All right, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 6. And tonight, we get the sermon we've all been waiting for. We've all been looking for the armor of God. And I think we've done four sermons, maybe even five, building up to this, because I want to show you your need, to let you know that you need each and every individual piece of this armor. I wanted you to be desperate for it. So tonight, we start the armor. I think each piece of the armor here is intentional. I think each piece of the armor is essential in that you need it. You cannot do without it. We must have every piece of the armor. And tonight we start with the one that's first, and I believe this, the way God does things, the way Paul writes things, everything's done on purpose. So I believe the first one is the one that he meant to be first. This is where we start with. I believe you can't put on the rest of the armor unless you put on this piece of the armor. So tonight we're going to look at the belt of truth. And my goal here in each one is to tell you not just that you need it, but why you need it. So we need the belt of truth because it'll help us guard against the enemy's lies. So that's why you need. That's the main point of the whole sermon tonight, is you need the belt of the truth to guard against the enemy's lies. I think I said it last week that the way the enemy attacks is through deceit and lies. So how are we going to guard ourselves from that? Through the belt of truth. So I want you to walk away tonight knowing this piece of the armor, and I want you to wear this piece of the armor tonight. So let me read you these verses. I want to read the entire passage. I want to get it in your minds. I want to get it in your ears. So I'm going to read verses 10 to 17, and then we'll pray. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And when I read that, "be strong in the Lord," I read it in my mind as saying, it's time to man up. It's time to be strong. It's not time to be weak. It's time to be strong. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not," I'll tell you this in a minute, but the word wrestle there is not that we fight from a distance. Wrestling is hand-to-hand, up-front combat. That our fighting is face-to-face. It's intense. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So that's the one for tonight. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewithal you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So there's every piece of the armor. We'll just look at one tonight. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you have given us in the armor. I think we underestimate what we have in the armor of God. So you know my plan was, God, building up to this verse, to have us all sitting and waiting and knowing that we're desperate for the armor. And tonight, for us to say, okay, I need to know what they are and help me to apply them. Help me to put it on. So God, teach us about the belt of truth tonight. And help us not just to know it, to have a head full of knowledge about it, but to walk out of here and say, I'm wearing the belt of truth so I can be able to counterattack the lies of Satan. So God, help us as we go through this verse tonight. And we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The armor has always been an essential piece of combat. No one wants to go into battle unprotected. There's no way that I would be a police officer. There's no way that I'd be a military personnel and go into battle and not wear armor. It's an essential thing that military and police officers have to wear. And it's been around forever. I actually Googled it this week to see how long armor has been around. And it's been around as long as history goes back. It goes back to the first, and I may be wrong on this, as I said it the other night, the internet's not always right about everything. So Google says that it goes all the way back to China, where they would have interlocking iron rings called chain mail that they would wear. So that's the first type that they have found. The second type, or the later on in Europe, they would have the knight's armor, which is most common. Everybody thinks of armor. They think of a knight wearing armor all over his body. He's clanking around. He's very big and just can't move very well. And this kind of armor. Today they wear bulletproof vests, combat helmets, and carry riot shields. There's all types of armor that have been protecting soldiers throughout all time. And today they're trying to make it better than ever, and it's still trying to be improved. I read about some kind of armor that they're going to start putting on people, soldiers. That's some kind of liquid that's going to stop bullets. There's always looking for better ways to improve armor that soldiers wear. But you'll never be, soldiers will never be fully protected as they go out into war. But I say that to say this, the Christian soldier has access to armor that has been successful against all of Satan's attacks for thousands of years. We have a greater armor than any soldier throughout history has ever had, and it's not man's armor that we're putting on. It says there, put on the armor of God. We're not putting on a physical armor that man has created that we're trying to protect ourselves from the attacks of Satan. We're putting on God's armor. We need spiritual armor to go against the attacks of a spiritual enemy. So this isn't man's armor, it's God's armor, because Paul has said that we're in a war, and the war isn't physical, it's spiritual. It's more dangerous, I believe, than a physical war where we're going against bullets or swords or any kind of attack like that. It's more dangerous because we're not fighting for our lives, we're fighting for our spiritual lives. So this is more important than any war that's ever been fought. The war that we fight every single day, where we step out into the world and we're not facing bullets that are flying, we're facing the fiery darts of Satan that is coming against us. So this is not a physical war, it's a spiritual war, and we're up against a formidable foe. We're going up against Satan. He's hostile. He has demonic forces. We wrestle against these demonic forces in hand-to-hand combat. That's up close and personal. It's not something that's happening from a distance where you need binoculars and guns that are going to hit from far away distance. This all these things that we see here are for hand-to-hand combat, up close and personal. You are in a battle every single day against demonic forces. So we desperately need to be protected. So Paul now gives us this tremendous resource. And I think I say that, and you've got to grab onto that. It is a tremendous resource. It's a divine equipment, and it prepares us for the battle that we face every single day. I don't think there's any way that any of us should ever step out into the world. And I say into the world, it's even in our homes, that we need to make sure every single day that we are wearing every single piece of the armor of God. Don't you dare step out without knowing that I have this on. So Paul tells us here to put it on. And when we do, he says we can stand or withstand the attacks of Satan. So he says, put it on, and when you wear it, then you are able. Without it, you are susceptible. You are open to attack. But with it, we can stand and withstand the attacks of Satan. So Paul here starts in verse 14. You see that there. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Every last bit of it. Don't go out without all six pieces of the armor. And when you do, you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So stand therefore. And he gives us the very first one. Girt your loins with truth. This phrase, I'll get into it in a second, is put on the belt of truth. It's first on purpose because everything builds from the belt. Get that? Everything builds from the belt. So let's understand what the belt is. Let's put on the belt. I've given you a few points on your paper tonight. I want you to write these things down. This is how you put on the belt. So I'm going to go through this and show you the belt of truth. I got 2 points for you. Number one, the belt is actually preparation for battle. Preparation for battle. He says there in verse 14 a phrase that I love. You don't hear it anymore, but I'm going to start using it every single day around my house. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore and having your loins girt. And I'm going to stop there. Just 2 words, loins girt. When was the last time anybody in here said loins girt? When you wanted your kids to get ready, did you holler at them and say, boys, get your loins girt? I'm going to start saying that. It's going to be great around the house. It's a great phrase. If you look it up in other versions of the Bible, it doesn't say it nearly as awesome as that is. Other versions will say buckled around the waist. It'll say tied around the waist. It'll say fastened around the waist. So if I gave you those options of buckle, tied, fastened, or loins girt, you choose which one you like. I'm going with loins girt. And Paul says loins girt for a reason. Paul's looking at a Roman soldier, because in this letter he's sitting, he's in a prison, and he's probably handcuffed to a Roman soldier. He's looking at a Roman soldier. There's probably Roman soldiers beside of him, all around him. They're changing shifts all the time. He's been in Rome. He's been around Rome. He's seen Roman soldiers. And he's looking, he sees Roman soldiers. And what does he see? Is that Roman soldiers, I'm going to tell you how they dress. I wish I could have, I looked it up today. I couldn't find a good picture. But Roman soldiers would wear a long tunic. That was their clothes. And it would be white or a dingy color. Again, if I had a picture, you could see it. But it's a white, dingy color. It looks like a dress. It would go over their head, almost like a potato sack. So you'd have it over their head, and then they had the two arms, and it would go down to about the knees. And so you guys are picturing that in your mind right now. It's basically a skirt that would go all the way down to just a little bit below their knees. The civilians would wear one that would go all the way down to their ankles. Soldiers would wear one of these tunics that went down to their knee. So Paul knows, he's seen it, that normally when a soldier isn't at wartime and he's just walking around everyday life, you'd see a soldier and he'd have his knee-length tunic on, but he wouldn't have it rolled up. He'd have it at the knee. When there's no war, there's no fighting, he would wear it at the knee. He's not trying to run anywhere. He's not climbing anything. He's not chasing anybody. He's not running from anybody. So it didn't bother him to have his tunic hanging around about his knees. But Paul knows that at other times, when it was wartime, when it was time to fight, that you couldn't have that tunic around your knees. You'd have to take that tunic and you'd have to you think about it this way, you'd have to pick it up and run like that. I don't want to run around here like that, but I could if you want to see it. You're running around kind of flimsy, kind of dainty, kind of like a girl. You're running around trying to hold your tunic up, or you could say hold your dress up so that it doesn't get in the way. So when it's wartime, you'd have a commander that would say it's time to fight. You'd have to girt your loins. You'd have to roll that thing up so that you wouldn't trip over it. And you couldn't just pull it up and take off running because it'd fall. You'd have to put on a belt. And they'd pull that up, and they'd put their belt on, and they'd cinch it tight so that it wouldn't fall down. And they'd say, now it's time to girt your loins, to tighten up your belt, to buckle up around the waist, to fasten the belt so that your tunic doesn't fall around the knees anymore. So that belt became one of the most important pieces because, first of all, it's saying, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go. I'm prepared for battle at any point. So Paul would hear that. He'd be sitting there in a prison cell, and he'd hear a commander say, gird your loins! And they'd all raise their tunic and tighten their belts. They'd go out to war. He's heard, gird your loins before. Every time he heard that, he would think, them boys are going to fight. So it shows that gird your loins means, buckle up, boys. Gird your loins means the same thing that a stewardess would say on an airplane, we're getting ready to descend, buckle up. Ding, 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 ding. Put your seatbelt on. Or turbulence in the airplane, it's going to get rough, so buckle up your seatbelts now. That's what this is. He's gird your loins. Put your chin strap on. Don't go out into the football field with your chin strap hanging loose. It's time to buckle that thing up. You're about to get hit. Gird your loins. I tell my boys when they go out to play basketball, tie your shorts. You don't want those things falling while you're running. That'd be the most embarrassing thing ever, running down the court and your shorts start falling down, or you're constantly tugging at your shorts. Tie those shorts. It's time to play. That's what this is. It's a way of saying, get ready, be ready, it's time to fight. Now watch this. You say, how do you know that's the case, Josh? I think you're making stuff up just to fill a sermon. I'm not. Watch this. Exodus 12:11. During the Passover, listen to what it says. Because they had to be ready to go. It says, and thus shall ye eat with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste, because it's the Lord's Passover. So while they're eating the Passover, they have to have their shoes on, they have to have their staff in their hand, and they have to be eating like my boys at dinner table because they're afraid somebody's going to get food that they can't get. So they're eating fast, eating with haste, because they have to be ready to go at any time. So they have to gird their loins and tighten their belt and be ready to go. Watch this. Luke 12, talking about Jesus returning. It said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning when Jesus returns. You got to be ready for Jesus to return. So tighten up your belt. Be ready. So this is the first thing that we have to do. We have to be prepared for the fight. There's an order to this here. It's on purpose. So when we hear the commander say, gird your loins, it has to tell us what he's saying here is we're not in peacetime right now. We're in wartime. It's not a time to relax, like it or not. There's a militant tone in Christianity that we are always at war and we must always have our loins girt. We used to have that in Christianity. We used to sing songs in church that I'm in the Lord's army. We don't sing that stuff anymore. We don't sing it. We don't talk about it. We in the church today are at comfort and ease when we're actually at war and pastors are telling the church, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Paul says here, gird up your loins. It's not peacetime, it's wartime. Most churches shy away from this stuff, but it's wartime. It's time to fight. This isn't time for us to let everything hang. This isn't time for us to lay around and relax. This isn't time for us to eat and drink and be merry. This is a time for us to gird our loins and tighten our belts and buckle our chin straps and pull up our shorts and tie the strings and be ready to fight. This is what he's saying here. Most Christians don't see it because they don't want to see it. They don't care about it. But we know it's time to buckle up. And in our day that we're living in today, it's more important now than ever to have our loins girt. Amen. We've got to be ready. We've got to fight. We must not get caught with our tunic hanging around our knees. Where you can't run, you can't fight, you can't climb. What he's saying there is don't get caught unprepared. Be prepared for the battle. And the first thing we do is pull our belt tight and get ready. So the belt is preparation for battle, that you're ready. Second, and we'll work our way through this, the belt is protection for the battle. The belt is protection for the battle. So you say, what does it protect us from? What does the belt do? What good is it? Is it just to keep our pants up? Is it just to keep our tunic from falling down around our knees? How does the belt offer us any protection at all? Because now spiritually, he says, it's not just a belt that's keeping our tunic up. Because you say, how can I do that? I don't understand, spiritually speaking, how that is. So what this belt is, it's the belt of truth. Look what it says. So having your loins girt with truth. So spiritually, this is a belt of truth that we're putting on. We are prepared with truth. So why do we put on truth? Why is this the first thing we do? Why is this the priority? Why is this the anchor for everything else on our that the soldier will wear? Why the truth? Why are we putting on truth? And the answer is, I've already told you, because the number one attack of Satan is lying. So if his number one attack, and it is lies and deception, and he is a liar and the father of lies, and it's an ongoing attack. The first sin was because of a lie. And his ongoing attack is lies and falsehood and deception. If that's the main way that Satan attacks, then the first thing we have to put on is a counter to that attack. Amen. We have to know the truth. So Satan, his first line of attack is the mind. The first line of battle is in our mind. He wants to take captive our mind. The target is our mind. That's what Target the store is after right now. The minds of our children. As you walk into Target and it's LGBTQ everywhere, the rainbow everywhere, they're after our minds. Right. He's trying to lie to us. Disney, with all their perversion, they're after the minds of our children, and he's lying to our children. He wants us to believe lies, to compromise the truth, to confuse us, to make us doubt the truth, to be indifferent to the truth. He's lying to us. So the first thing we must have is the truth. Amen. And the problem is, this is where many fail. If you don't know the truth, you're going to get beat up with lies. You're going to fall for the lies. You're going to get pushed around without the belt of truth. You're going to be tripping up all over the place over all the lies that Satan's thrown at you. And you see Christians all the time tripping up over this lie, tripping over this deception, and over these things that are being taught because they don't have the belt of truth on. They're stumbling, they're tripping, they're falling all over the place. They don't know God's will for their life because they don't know the truth. They don't know how to respond to tragedies because they don't know the truth. They don't have their loins girt with truth. They're not prepared for it. They don't know how to handle temptation because they don't know the truth. Many fail here at the outset because there's so many lies being thrown around. So many doctrines of demons that are rampant. So many young Christians that are pulled into false teaching. Satan is so good at getting a new Christian who's made his profession of faith in Christ and saying, hey, come over here to this false teacher.
That's right.
They don't know the truth. They're not girding their loins with truth. So we can't afford to be without the belt of truth. Our children can't afford to go without the belt of truth. We can't afford to be weak on the truth. We can't afford to go to churches. And I'm going to say this a couple times tonight. We can't afford to go to churches that minimize the truth. We can't afford to go to churches that are weak on truth. We say, oh, it's got great children's programs. Oh, it's got a great outreach program. Oh, it's got a great music program. Oh, I know the preaching is weak. I know he's not very doctrinally sound. He doesn't focus or emphasize the truth. I get that, but everything else is so great. You're just a sitting duck for Satan to attack if you don't know the truth.
Amen.
We can't afford to be in a church that minimizes the truth. So, he says the belt of truth. I wrote a couple things down here that probably will get me in trouble, but it doesn't say put on the belt of emotions. He doesn't say put on the belt of feelings. He doesn't say put on the belt of music. He doesn't say put on the belt of relationships. He doesn't say put on the belt of experiences. Christianity is a religion, not of emotions and feelings. There's some there. It's not a religion of experiences and relationships. It's a religion of the truth. Our God is a God of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Our God is a God of truth, and we must be a people of the truth.
Amen.
So you say, what does truth mean? There's all kinds of things. It could be doctrine, theology, the apostles' teaching, the full counsel of God. But let me tell you what truth is. In reality, and here's the good definition. Truth is whatever God says it is.
Yeah.
That's as simple as you can get with it. Whatever God says is true, is true. Truth is divine. Truth comes from God. He's the author of truth. So whatever God says, truth is, that's what it is. Truth is not opinion polls. Truth is not majority rules. Truth isn't what politicians say it is. Truth is whatever God says it is.
Amen.
Watch this. Whatever God says about creation is truth, and everything else is a lie.
Amen.
You're going to need to know this. 6 day creation, resting on the seventh. Young earth creation. 6,000 to 7,000 years old. That's what God says, and whatever God says is true, and everything else is a lie.
Amen.
Whatever God says about gender is truth, and everything else is a lie.
Amen.
And get this, we're going to need to know these things. This is how we use the belt of truth. You have to know about creation, where we come from. You're going to have to know in the days ahead what is truth when it comes to gender, where they say that it's not just two genders, it's not just male and female. There's a whole big broad range of all these things that you could be. And when they say you can be whatever you want to be, God says, I created it male and I created it female, and there's nothing in between, there's nothing outside. Whatever God says is true is truth. Whatever God says about marriage is truth.
Amen.
Whatever God says about the family is truth. Whatever God says about the government is truth. It's black and white. It's exclusive. Everything else is a lie. It's unchanging. Whatever God says is true, was true thousands of years ago, is true today. It'll be true into the future. It's always going to be true. Whatever God says is true is always true.
Amen.
Whatever God says about salvation is true. Whatever God says about heaven and about hell is true. Whatever God says about the church is true. Whatever God says about the end times is true. Whatever God says about anything is true.
Amen.
God gets, I like this, God gets first say about the truth. God gets the last say about the truth. God gets everything in between about the truth.
Amen.
Again, not opinion polls, not majority rules, but whatever God says. So, get this, we can't go into this battle ignorant of the truth. If you go into the battle ignorant of the truth, where you say, I don't know about these things, if you go into the battle and you send your kids out into the world, or you go out to the world and you say, you know what, I don't know how many genders there are. You might as well just be putting your chin out there for Satan to punch you. I don't know. It could be the Big Bang. We could have all come from an amoeba in a puddle somewhere, and there was a great Big Bang, and now evolution has brought us this far. Come on, Satan, punch me in the face. This is sitting duck. I don't know. It could be, you know, we could be saved by Christ alone, or maybe it's an Islamic way, or maybe it's a Buddhist way, or maybe we could all just find our own way. If there's any I don't know out there, you're a sitting duck, and Satan will bring you down.
Amen.
I don't know. Maybe a man can marry a man. Here you go, Satan, punch me in the face. Knock me down. You're just asking to lose. It's critical. It's life or death. It's priority number one that you put on the belt of truth. I'll say this, you can't let your kids. I'll say go off to school without them having the belt of truth on. You definitely can't send your kids to university without a belt of truth.
Amen.
They're going to need the truth. You're going to have to get it cinched tight. You're going to have to get it fastened down. You've got to get it buckled up. You can't have any loose thoughts or slack beliefs, no uncertainties and no doubts. The truth must be the very first thing we put on. It has to be the first thing our kids put on.
Amen.
Do not let your kids go out into the world. I'll say this, they shouldn't be watching Disney without the truth. I mean, you turn on Disney now, and it's like, all right, kids, buckle up. Gird your loins. We're watching a Disney movie. It could show anything at any time. There could be a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. There could be a transgender on there. They could be talking about abortion and saying it's not really a baby. You're going to have to watch. You're going to have to get your mind right. You're going to know the truth here. I'm constantly saying that. You guys, you see what that commercial is? That's wrong. I'm girding up your loins. Know the truth.
Right.
You got to do that now. Don't send them to university without them cinching up their belt and saying, I know the truth. So the question is, and I'll be done, how do you put on the belt of truth? I sound like I'm almost done. But you guys have those papers in front of you. You know there's 7 points. People online are like, oh no. Because I want to do this every time. How do I put on the belt? How do I put on the breastplate of righteousness? How do I carry the shield of faith? How do I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? I like that. We'll get to it in a few weeks. But I believe that the belt of truth is the totality of the truth, that you have to have a good understanding of all of the truth, through all of all theology and all of doctrine and the whole counsel of God. You need a good understanding of all those things, so that when you pull out the sword of the Spirit, you can use one verse at a time to attack specifically where you're being attacked. You pull that sword of the Spirit out of the belt of the truth. That was better in my study than it just was then. Because what did Jesus do? When he's being tempted, he had a full knowledge of all the truth. But when Satan attacked him, he pulled out the sword of the Spirit and used Scripture one at a time, chapter and verse. That's your sword. But the belt is the totality of the truth. So how do we put on the belt? Number one, you're going to have to know the truth. This is how you put it on. You got to know it. You got to be firmly established in your minds. You got to read it. If you ain't reading the Bible, you ain't cinching up your belt. You got to study it. That's why he gives you a study Bible, so that you're not just reading it, but you're understanding what you're reading. You're going to have to hear it rightly taught. That's a big one. I believe it's good to read it. My kids read it. I believe it's good for them to study it, have a study Bible where if they have a question here, they can go down and say, okay, what does this say? What does this mean by what it says? But I think one of the best ways to understand the truth is to have a pastor who preaches the truth to you. And not just any preacher, not just any pastor, not just, oh yeah, my pastor opens the Bible, my pastor says this, my pastor does that. It needs to be rightly taught truth. You got to know the truth.
Yeah.
Number two, and I'll say this again. I wrote it here. I think it's the third time I wrote it in here. Do not go to a church that minimizes the truth. I want to just focus on this. I want to put an exclamation point on this. Don't go to a church that puts anything above the truth. That their priorities is anything else other than the truth. That their priorities may be the music ministry. Their priorities may be all these different things. I want to say it on Sunday night that as goes the pulpit, so goes the church. And in the pulpit, if the truth is the focus, then it'll be the focus in the pews.
Right. Amen.
Know the truth. Find you a church that preaches the truth. Number two. Not just know the truth, you've got to believe the truth. In the deepest depths of your soul, you must be fully persuaded that it's true. I don't want to send my kids out knowing what it says, but not being fully persuaded that it's true. Where they'll go out and they'll say, you know, I've been taught this. And you go to college and the first thing they'll tell you is, oh, you're too closed-minded. You have to be more open-minded to things. You've only been taught one vantage point. You've only been told one thing. Your mom and your dad has told you this and they're wrong. Open up your minds. I'm not open-minded. I'm as closed-minded on the truth as anybody can possibly be. I don't think that we hold the truth with an open hand, where anything can come and take it. And I think we've got to hold the truth with a clenched hand, saying, nothing is going to take the truth from me. I don't just know it. I believe it in the depths of my soul. And I will not back down from it.
Amen.
You got to be there. Your kids got to be there. Satan will attack if you don't have a clenched fist on the truth. Close your hand. Close your mind. The truth is what God says it is. Know the truth. Believe the truth. Number three, love the truth. I think there's some emotion that has to be here. I don't think it should be cold orthodox. This is just me. I heard a preacher say this week about the truth. Read Psalm 119. David, the psalmist, absolutely loved the truth. He enjoyed the truth. He ate the truth. He drank the truth. He lived the truth. Everything, what excited him the most in the world was truth. We need that. I don't want to raise kids that know it and believe it, and it's cold and it's orthodox and it's right, but they don't love it. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what do you listen to while you run? Do you listen to 90s music? Do you listen to new music? Do you listen to Christian music? I said, well, I run, I listen to sermons. You're kidding, right? No. I love listening to sermons. Why? I love truth. It excites me. It ignites the fire within me. What do I do in my pastime? I study the truth. What's sitting by my office all the time is the Bible here and a systematic theology there. I'm constantly taking in the truth. And we sit in the study and it's like, oh, I love that. And oh, I love that. And I love that. It's not boring. It's something you enjoy. You need to love the truth. Man, you get this. I'm telling you how to put it on. If you'll know the truth and believe the truth and love the truth, Satan's attack won't, his lies won't hit you. I'll give you another one. You got to think on the truth. I won't spend a lot of time on this. I think you got to mull it over.
Amen.
I think you got to graze over it. That's what the word mull over means. You see it in Psalm 119, where he talks about meditating on the truth, that you say law. That you stop and pause for a few seconds and think, y'all ever do that? I'll read a verse and I think, that's something good right there. And instead of moving on to the next verse, because I'm fine with reading through the Bible in a year, I've done that. I'm fine with going through it in order in different ways. But sometimes I just want to read it and go through it as slow as I possibly can. Just a half a verse. I mean, tonight how many words have we studied? Let me, having your loins girt about with truth. Seven words tonight. I'm not in any hurry to get through this. I don't need to do all of it one time. Let's just take our time and do, do I have my loins girt with truth? Jesus had his loins girt with truth. That's how Paul and Peter and all those guys made it through their temptations. And when they failed, they wasn't girt with truth. Their failures and believing of lies means that they didn't know the truth. And you're just sitting thinking about these things and meditate on it and graze over it and take your time with it. Sit and think about the truth. And I know that's awful to say in our culture. Pause and think about something. Not next episode on Netflix. Right? I mean, we just can't do that anymore. Just sit and think with our own thoughts. I love that. You ought to do that. Think deeply about things. Think about the truth. When you go through the attributes of God, what does it mean that God is good? Nobody thinks anymore. Even some of the difficult things. I do that all the time. Somebody said something to me the other day about, somebody told me that predestination. That they believed in predestination. I said, don't you? Well, no. Well, it's in the Bible. Well, I don't think it means what they think it means. Well, what do you think it means? So what you need to do is, it's there. What does it mean? And think through these things. Use your mind. We're to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our spirit, and our mind.
Yeah.
I'll go on. When I started that, I said, I won't spend much time on this one. So you just this list, you know the truth, you believe the truth, you love the truth, you think on the truth, you apply the truth. You got to connect it to your life. You can't just sit there and do, like it's some separation. You know, like the things you take in high school where it's like geometry. And you just look at your teachers and say, where in the world will I ever use this? Oh, you're going to. Personally, never done a geometry calculation, whatever you want to call it, after like ninth grade. It never connected in my life at all. Maybe somebody else's, but not mine. But truth is always connected to real life. So you're going to have to take it out of your and put it in your how does this connect with how I live every single day? I think I do that with sermons. Where you cross the bridge from what it said to what it means by what it says to how do I live what it says. You apply it. Number six, and you'll be glad to know that I didn't write anything out beside this. You obey the truth. What good is knowing the truth and believing the truth and loving the truth and thinking the truth and applying the truth if you don't do what it says? That's one way Satan will attack you. You know the truth, but he'll attack you through temptation and you won't obey the truth. Number seven, you defend the truth. Stand up for the truth. Don't back down to lies. And listen, if we do this, and I'm giving you seven, and I'm going to close. If you'll do these seven things, you will be well protected from Satan's lies. Because you'll have your loins girt with truth.
Yeah.
I know that in this church we know a lot of truth, but my goal is through this sermon that we learn more truth.
Yeah.
That we're not satisfied with where we are. That we have more discernment between true and false. That we have an understanding of what's right and wrong. That we learn more truth. And if we do that, we'll be like, and I hate to use this as a final illustration to close it, but I thought, what would it be like if we did this? And Satan is throwing lies at us left and right, as fast as they can come. And you guys know that, more lies today than ever. And it reminded me of the movie The Matrix, where those guys were shooting, the bad guys were shooting at the good guy. And bullets were going as fast as they could possibly go, everywhere, shooting them left and right. And the good guy was dodging them everywhere they came. You know, wasn't nothing hitting him. Just everywhere. Just, and it was like it was in slow motion. It was just like he was watching it go by. He could even touch it as it went by. If you have your loins girt with truth, all those lies that Satan shoots at you, you'll just watch them go by. I don't care what Target says. I know what's right. I don't care what Disney says. I know what's right. I don't care what the government says. I know what God says. And you're sitting there just watching all these things go by, and nothing's hitting you because you've got your loins girt and it's cinched up tight and there's nothing they can do. Unfortunately, there's a whole lot of people, who, even Christians, who don't know the truth, and all those lies are just hitting them left and right. False teaching everywhere. Prosperity gospel. Just everywhere you go, just people getting hit because nobody's ever taught them the truth. Kids leave and they get into college and they're getting hit with lies because nobody's ever taught them the truth. They sent their kids to children's church and gave them pizza and Kool-Aid and taught them about David and Goliath, which is awesome. But what's David and Goliath going to do to them? Do for them when they get off to college and lies are being thrown at them? They're going to have to know some truth. So tonight I want you not just to know what the belt of truth is. I hope you'll walk out here tonight with the belt of truth on so that we can guard ourselves from Satan's lies. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the belt of truth. And I believe this. If the more truth we know, the better we'll be able to discern right from wrong. The more truth we know, the better we'll be able to face temptation. The more truth we know, the better we'll be able to face trials and troubles and tragedies, because we're going to fall right back on the truth. We've seen that in the past month for our church when tragedy has struck and truth has kept us standing. But I pray that you'd help us to teach our kids the truth. I pray that we'd know it ourselves. I pray that we'd be hungry for it, desiring it, as a young baby desires milk. That we'd go from milk to the meat of the truth. That every day we'd be prepared with truth. Help us as we go from this one to the next one, the breastplate of righteousness. I believe they build on each other. I believe once you put on that belt, the very next thing that goes on is that breastplate. It fits right in perfectly with the belt. So God, help us to be able to withstand in the evil day. And I believe we are living in the evil day. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.